Samson's marriage. It's in Judges chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah, now get her for me as my wife." His father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She is the right one for me." His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Some time later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees with some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. "Let me tell you a riddle," Samson said to them. "If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes." "Tell us your riddle," they said. "Let's hear it." And he replied, "Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet." And for 3 days, they could not give the answer. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your words are sweeter than any other word. And I pray for each and every one of us this evening, through my words, we may just touch a little bit of what that sweetness means from you to us. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. I love an Old Testament story. I love an Old Testament story that is full of intrigue and lots of interesting things. Really interesting, what's just been read. And I think what I want to say first of all about Samson and his marriage is there's three things going on here. And to set a little bit of a scene from obviously 2 weeks ago, you were thinking about the idea of Samson being appointed, being anointed, and being miraculous as well. So he is a foreshadow. He is a taste of Jesus to come. And I think that's, I want to say right at the beginning of tonight, that's what we need to have in mind as we delve into God's word and we look at what this means for us today, is that actually Samson shouldn't have been born. His mother and father couldn't have children, but the angel of the Lord met them, and as a result, he was born. And this is a miraculous birth. And again, we've just celebrated Christmas. There's so many reflections. It reminds me a little bit of the angel Gabriel coming to talk to Mary and about how Jesus was miraculously foretold. So it's this paradox. It's something that on one level just doesn't make sense, but does make sense. So that's what we want to think about this evening about Jesus, is that he is this paradox of grace and what that means. But why do we need that? Well, if we could have the next slide, Claire, that'd be amazing. We're in the time of the Judges, and there was a bit of a pattern that would happen in the time of the judges for the people of Israel. They would live in prosperity, and then they would fall into idolatry and sin. And then a foreign power would come and take them over and oppress them. They would regretfully come back and repent to God for what they'd done. And then an imperfect leader would be raised up to lead them. And then they would be heroically delivered. And then the cycle would start all over again, again and again. And this is a really good picture to explain where Samson is in this part of the Bible. And in Judges 13, it says this really harsh words. It says, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. God's people, in the earlier chapter of 14, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And as a result, they were given over to the Philistines. And we've read that tonight, that actually because of where they were in the power of the Philistines. They were ruling over them. But then this lovely character, Manoah and his wife, we don't know her name, but they are promised the birth of a child. And this child will become Samson. Interestingly, I found out this week that Manoah, one, sounds a bit like Noah, and Noah did a saving work for God as well. But also, Manoah means rest or present. And this man, as he met the angel of the Lord, was given a present, something that he didn't think he was going to have, but he got. And this is really important because, again, it is a foreshadow of who Jesus is. It's this idea of being miraculous and undeserved. And that's what grace is. It's a gift that we do not deserve. But what's wonderful is through that, grace follows. And it's really superb. If we could have the next slide, Claire, that'd be brilliant. So that brings us to Judges 14, where we are tonight. And it's quite an interesting bit of scripture that we've read tonight, isn't it? Actually, this chap, Samson, he's a bit eager, isn't he? I want her. She's going to be my wife. It's a bit direct, isn't it? You know, in our culture today, that just wouldn't happen, would it? You know? But there's clearly the six things that are at play here. He saw Tamar. She obviously was beautiful. He said, now go and get her. And his dad says, what about someone of your own people? Why is that important? Because actually, God's people were told to keep themselves pure, to keep themselves separate, not to intermarry. But Samson says, no, I want her. She's the right one. Now, is he being defiant to his father? No, he's not. And this is really key. This is the key point within here. It's part of God's plan to set Israel free, that God allows almost Samson to break his rule of intermarrying with a foreign person. And off the back of that, salvation comes. Something that was closed is now open. And he then goes and does a good thing. He goes and asks the parent if he can marry the lady. If we could have the next slide. I did this. I asked my father-in-law to marry Michelle, if that was all right. I did that 15 years ago. And the day that I did it, we went and had a round of golf at over in Addington in Croydon. And I was going to ask him on the first... This isn't, by the way, this isn't the scorecard. It's far too good. I couldn't find that scorecard. But I thought I'd put this golf scorecard up here for you to see. Because at Addington, on the first hole, is a par four. And I managed to actually, for the first time ever, par it. I'd normally take about six or seven shots, but I took four to do it. And the second hole, I managed to par as well. And then the third hole. And at this point, I'm thinking, I'm not asking Cliff if I can marry Michelle. I'm just going to see if I can have a blistering round of golf here. And actually, I got to hole 17, and I have had a really good round of golf. But I hadn't done the one thing that I was meant to do, and that was ask my future father-in-law if I could marry his daughter. And fortunately, we got to the hole 18. I said, Cliff, there's one thing that he shook my hand. He said, I hate playing you. You're too good. And I said, well, there's one thing I've been meaning to ask you. And he said, yeah. And he had a bit of a whimsical smile on his face. I said, I'd like to marry Michelle. And he said that was okay, which is cool. And the rest is history. But I love that point that he actually goes to ask the parents if he can marry them. So Judges 14, I think, can teach us lots. But I think one of the things it can teach us is about intimacy with God. If we could have the next slide, please, Claire. So this idea of being intimate. The idea, actually, marriage is intimate. It's where two things become one. And actually, God wants to know us in that so close way that we have become one with him. And there's these wonderful lines, as we've heard read this evening. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power so that he was able to tear the lion apart with his hands. It's this idea of actually, Samson was so powerful, but that power was from God's Spirit. He was able to do something miraculous. Now, on the surface, that looks horrendously cruel, doesn't it? That he's ripped this lion apart. And we think, well, that's barbaric. But let's think, actually, that the devil is called a lion and he roams around looking. And actually, this could be a picture, in a sense, that the devil is roaming around and actually trying to tear us apart. But actually, when God is filled, or God chooses to fill us with his Spirit, we can defeat all sorts of things that come up against us. I also think it's another, we talked about foreshadowing, but it looks back as well. The fact that Adam and Eve were called to be stewards of creation, to have power over creation. Because Samson has been given the Spirit of God, he has power and authority over creation. He is living in a promise that we all should be able to live in. And he's able to tame this beast. But actually, in taming this beast, something wonderful happens as well. If we could have slide 7. And we get this riddle. Now, I don't know if you've seen this riddle before, if it's something new. I've seen this riddle quite regularly, and we see this riddle lots in our house. My two boys love maple syrup. We love pancakes. And on family days, it's my job to cook up pancakes and put lots of lashings of maple syrup on these pancakes. And the pancakes are made by me, but the maple syrup is made by these guys. And I think, if you can see, Tate and Lyle are very, very famous for making maple syrup. And if you look very carefully on their golden syrup, you will see a lion with some little bees buzzing around above them. And he's got a little hole in him as well. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Verse 14. Now we have Abraham Lyle to thank for this. In 1883, would you believe? And he's one of the first people to brand something. And what a brand to choose. He chooses Samson and a story from the Old Testament. We live in a commercialized world. That was one of the first brands ever. It was God's name stamped all over it. A miraculous thing. And here, that picture before is a factory of one of the largest sugar refining places in Europe. It's in Silvertown in East London, and it's by the Sugar Quay that is the Tate and Lyle factory. It's now been sold off, but it's a place where Abraham Lyle discovered a waste product while he was making sugarcane. And this waste product went through a refining process, and he was able to create an incredibly successful syrup that we still use and enjoy today. And thank you, Lord, for that. A waste product. A waste product. Could we have the next slide, please? I love the fact that it's a waste. It's something forgotten. It's something unused. It's a bit like the stone that Paul talks about, the capstone that the builder rejects, but that it's actually Jesus. It's a waste product. The boy Jesus. And again, this got me thinking this week about how Jesus' mum and dad, when they went up to Jerusalem when he was young, and they were like, where is he? They'd gone up, they'd started to go home, and they couldn't find him. And he actually is in his father's house, talking to the Pharisees, talking to the teachers of the law. And then in Luke 2, it says these wonderful words. Jesus, he grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and with men. Something forgotten, something left behind. That brings us back to that idea of intimacy that I talked a little bit earlier. Samson didn't go and tell his mother and father what he did, that he'd killed this lion. Why didn't he do that? Well, why didn't he do that? It's because he wanted to know where his father's house was. You know, and again, that points is that foreshadowing of Jesus to what's going to happen in the future. You should have known that I was in my Father's house. Now, we've crept a little bit further on. If we could just ping back, Claire, to the betrayal slide, if that's okay. Samson's choice of a lady is actually not too hot, as it turns out. She's a manipulator. She's someone who takes advantage. And this is, you know, clearly this riddle gets set, and then it's outrageous. If you can solve my riddle, I'll give you this. A challenge is thrown out. And the Philistines are furious. For 3 days, they can't solve it. And on the fourth day, it later goes on that they tap up his wife. And they say, you've got to persuade him. And she cries for the whole of her wedding for 7 days, weeping on his shoulder and saying, tell me, you haven't even told your mother and father, please tell me. And in the end, he relents and he shares the story and says, it's obviously it's a lion and the honey comes from the bees inside the lion's carcass. And of course, she then goes straight to his enemies, the Philistines, and passes this piece of information on. He's betrayed. I think it can teach us lots of things, this bit. One, actually, we've got to be really sure when God has given us information who we share that with. But also, that actually, in spite of being manipulated, God and Samson still have a purpose. And it works out. Now, he burns with anger later on in chapter 14, it says. And he goes and does some outrageous things. He goes and finds 30 other men, kills them, takes their clothes, and hands these clothes to the men that he said he was going to hand those 30 clothes to. Again, this is a fallen leader. This is not a leader that we should be saying, what an amazing guy. This is a man who is broken. This is a man who has got it wrong. But he is a man that God chooses to use. And this authority is strength and it wins. He may be an imperfect leader. And listen, if we turn later on into the book of Judges, we find that he gets manipulated again by another woman. So he doesn't learn from his mistakes. And we all know the story of Samson and Delilah. And if you don't, go and read it. But because of that, God defeats the Philistines. I'm not going to tell you how he does it. If you don't know, go and read it. It's a great story. But in spite of it going wrong, God wins. What I want to come into land and get us to think about, though, is out of death and the strong, comes something sweet. This lion is a picture of death. But inside is this honey that he then extracts and gives to his mother and father as they're journeying to his wedding. And this is what I want to leave us with tonight. This is a wonderful foretaste of sweetness of what the gift of eternal life is that God gives us. Out of death, out of the grave, comes sweetness. Out of the eater comes something sweet. And I find that incredibly encouraging, and it's wonderful that we can live in that. That actually Christ has the victory over the grave. The grave could not hold Jesus. Because unlike Samson, he was the perfect man, the perfect person. And God, through his grace, allowed him to be the first Adam to rise. And the story tonight finishes with Samson returns to his father's house. I think that's lovely. That was a wise thing that he did. That after he slewed all these people, he left his wife. He gave her away to somebody else at the wedding. And he walked away. And then he went back home. He returned to his father's house. And again, I think this points to Jesus. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. The true authority and the true strength within is found in Jesus. And I want to ask you just a very simple question this evening. Would you like to know that true authority and that true strength? Because if you do, it is so sweet. It is sweeter than honey. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this story. Thank you that it is one of the crowd of witnesses to the life of faith that we can look back to in the Old Testament. For a fallen person, but someone who was filled with your Spirit. And I pray for each and every one of us this evening that we may come near to you and that you are already near to us. And that, Lord, out of the things that eat us up and the things that bring death in our life, when we bring them to you, we will find honey, sweeter, true honey, your honey, that is far, far sweeter than real earthly honey. And that you will give us that as your gift. And thank you that that is your promise. You choose not to leave us in death, but to give us life. Amen.